Welcome, and thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Praise His name. Amen. Praise His name. Amen. 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 Randy, can you find our song, please? It is good to see everybody. Turn to somebody and say, it's good to see you. Now turn the other way and say, it's good to have you. You ready, Randy? We're going to fellowship with each other just a minute or two. And go to somebody you don't know. That good. This is made just for you, the little rascals. So fellowship with each other just for a couple of minutes. Good to see you. Okay. All right. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. How many of you would rather be here than in jail? A few of you. Just a few of you. You know, we have a wonderful time in our worship of the Lord, and somebody asked me one time, said, you know, I'm used to three songs and sitting down. And I said, you can still do that. Three songs, sit down. So you're welcome to do that. But we're just getting warmed up after three songs, right? Just making sure that we give him all the praise, all the glory, all everything that he's worthy of, and unashamed to give it to him. Amen. So we really want to pray. How many of you think that you have something to praise him for? Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Go ahead and stand up and praise him. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. How many, still stand up. How many of you, excuse me, have had chains broken in your life because of Jesus? Give him praise. How many of you had any recent healings? Look, wave, recent healings. Look, does God still heal today? Look at all the hands waving. Amen, amen. I tell you, God is good all the time. He is good. We can't give him enough praise. We just can't. We try to give him all the praise, but somehow we come up short in giving all the praise to him. You know, because sometimes I think, you know, so we have a long worship service. And I said, it's a lifestyle. See, we're worshiping now. We're worshiping God now. And when we leave, we'll be worshiping God. It's not just the songs. The songs help. But our worship is from our heart. And we still have a heart when we leave here. Some of us. No, all of us have a heart. We have a heart. See, and we need to show forth the very gratitude that we have for Jesus no matter where we are. Don't be ashamed of him. Don't be ashamed of him. Don't be ashamed of the gospel that brought truth to you. The good news saved you and I. Good news. It's great news, really. It really is. Why are y'all standing up? You can be seated. You can be seated. It's great. It's great. You know, Jesus did not entice any of us with success or prosperity, or he didn't do any of that to get us saved. He didn't coerce us. He didn't manipulate us. He didn't say, you won't never have any problems. He didn't do that, did he? No. But see, sometimes we try to share the gospel with people and say all your troubles will be gone away. That's not true. And the people you're telling that knows that's not true. Now, he'll take care of all the troubles, but he will speak truth to you so you can walk a different way. So he's not the Savior that enticed people with prosperity and success and everything to come to him for salvation. He didn't do that because it wouldn't have been truthful. See, See, everything that's in the kingdom is great, full, blessings, prosperity. Everything that's in the kingdom is that. But he's telling people, and he tells us today, he tells people, all people today, that if you'll come to him, you can have eternal life. So when you get born again, the moment you're born again, you start eternal life. You don't wait till you go to heaven. You have eternal life already in you because you have him in you. So you have eternity already in you. And when we die, we just move from this location to that location. Amen? We don't inherit eternal life when we die. We inherit eternal life when we have Jesus and we repent of our sins and accept him as our Lord and Savior. That's when eternal life starts. I'm happy about that. Are you? I'm really happy about that. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to have several verses, but I'm going to talk to you about has anyone ever seen a crosswalk that you walk across? You know, if you have, raise your hand. Okay, so we see that. I just learned something about a crosswalk. If you have multiple lines, just parallel lines going together, you can't, as a driver, you can't keep going until they reach the other side. Did y'all know that? Yeah, I knew that, Pastor. You just now learning that? After running over two or three people? Yeah. No, I haven't run over. No, but I really didn't know that. But see, there are just two lines that goes across that is a crosswalk. Did y'all know that? But it has a different rule. That's what I did not know. So if there's two lines and somebody's walking across, when they get by your car, you can go on. You don't have to wait till they get to the other side. That's a handy piece of information. Use it. Well, I'm going to talk to you about a crosswalk, but it's not that kind. I'm going to talk to you about the crosswalk. Jesus over in Matthew chapter 7, he says this, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way to that gate is broad, and it leads you to destruction. But he says, don't go that way, go by the narrow gate. He said, and the wide gate, the broad gate that leads to destruction, many are those who enter it. The majority of people will walk on the broad way, not the narrow way. And he said, the way that everybody's going, it looks like this is the right thing to do. They say it's the right thing to do. They try to convince us it's the right way to do, but it's very broad and it will lead us to destruction. Jesus said, it is the narrow way. In other words, it's a lot smaller than you thought. It's a lot more narrow than you thought. Jesus said, go that way. And he says, for the gate is small and the way is narrow, but it will lead you to life. So one of the first things, when I start listening about, okay, this is this and this is this. First thing I check is, how many people's going that way? That's the first thing, how many people's going that way? And if everybody's going that way, I'm going to research it. I'm going to put in a little bit more effort saying, I need to look deeper into this. You know, and we can do that with religion. There's a lot of people walking in religion, but not walking in relationship. Walking in religion will actually lead you to destruction if you don't know him. If you do know him, you'll be on a narrow way. It'll be relational. Not because it's a religion. Not because you're earning it. It's because he's already paid it. And that's the narrow way. That is the narrow way. And we have to understand that there are two ways to walk on this earth. In the narrow way and in the broad way. One will lead us to destruction. One will lead us to life. And that's the words of Jesus. But he also says about walking the narrow way, the words lead you to life. He says, few are those who, watch this, few are those who find it. Here's my question. Have you found the narrow path? Have you found it? Don't get off of it. So a lot of people can't find it. They're too preoccupied with all the offers that the broad way offers you. Every benefit that the broad way offers you will lead you to being destroyed. So some people can't even find the narrow way because they're not looking for it. They don't want it. And they choose not to go that way. See, Jesus is the door, the gate. He is the door. You'll not get to the Father without him. He is the doorway. He is the gateway of the narrow. He is the gate of the narrow way. He is the only way. Everybody say, he is the only way.
He is the only way.
The only way. There's no other way to the Father but by Jesus. Say his name. Say it like you mean it.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. He also tells us that you need to strive. Luke 13:24 says, strive to enter. Strive to enter. Work and give effort to go through the narrow gate. It'll take an effort for you to see the narrow way. Once you find it, is to go get in it, to go through it. There's a lot of people that has found the narrow way but chose not to go in it. See, the gift of salvation is free. Amen? It's a gift. But your walk in God and your maturity in God will cost you everything. It'll cost you and I everything. But I don't want to give this up. Well, that'll be the part that you don't walk in freedom. So we have these two options that everybody has. And then he said, if you do walk in it, you'll find life. And you'll be given life. He said, many, I tell you, will seek to enter, but they'll not be able to. I read that just the other day. Many will seek to enter, but they won't be able to. The reason they won't be able to is because they've made a decision not to. It's not that Jesus is saying, you can't come in. He has not said that to anybody. You can't come in. But once you see the narrow way, once you find it, Jesus said there'll still be people that won't enter because they'll weigh it out and it'll cost them too much to enter in, so they don't enter. So they stay on the road to destruction, but yet they're good people. Good people, just not his people. It is not our goodness that gets us to heaven. Because we've all done good things before we met him. But we were not good. Jesus said, there is none good. No, not one. See, our goodness is nothing. His goodness is everything. Well, how did we get to this place? You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 14, it says, after they preach the gospel in a city. See, every city needs the gospel preached. Every city needs to hear the good news. Here's the thing I'd like to ask you. Are you one of the carriers of the good news? Has anybody heard the good news from your lips? If they haven't, they need to hear it. They need to hear the words. They need to hear your heart speak of how great he is. That he can take care of everything. He really can. That it comes by us giving him everything. See, we want a real God with real answers, but we bring false problems to him. We'd rather talk about something that's really not the issue and want the freedom that he gives, but yet we're not transparent and open to him. See, when you start walking in a narrow way, come here, Mike. Come here, Mike. Mike said, I knew it. Said, this is the narrow way right here. This is the broad way. This is the broad way right here. Everybody say, this is Broadway. All right, I got it. So this is the Broadway. He's over there, and I'm over here, Broadway. And as long as we walk on the Broadway, it'll lead us to destruction, because destruction's right on the other side. Stephen, you're just such a gentleman. I pointed at him, destruction's on the other side, and he went. But see, in the midst of having the broad way, there's more of a narrow way. Just this way, right here. See number two?
Not far to go.
Not far to go. And so you have this to where you can walk together as brothers, and you can have that walking with him
I just felt like we need to be skipping through here. That's a good thing, right? Can you still skip?
Cut the video. No, we're good. I love family, I really do. But see, the thing is, we can enjoy each other because we don't have a selfish ambition that we're after, because we have one heart after him. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you for the skipping. It reminds me of a passage. Skipping like a young calf straight out of the gate. Anyway, where was I? So you understand when things get narrow. Can I borrow that? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Have you ever drank out of it? Okay, I won't get none of it. No, I missed. See, I'll bring it back to you. But see, this passage over in Acts 14, it said they preached the gospel in the city, and they made many disciples, and they returned. They returned where they came from, saying this: they were strengthening the souls of the disciples. What does that tell you? Every soul, every mind, will, and emotion of a disciple needs to be strengthened. Our souls need to be strengthened. Our spirits are born again. Our souls need to be strengthened. He said they were strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue what you started. Continue to walk in faith. That's what they were saying. Continue. Don't stop. Continue to walk in this narrow way. Don't stop. That's what they were saying to the disciples. And then they said this saying, it is through many tribulations. I don't want to hear about tribulations. Well, we need to hear about tribulations, right? They said, it's strengthening the soul of the disciples, saying this: through many tribulations, you must enter into the kingdom of God. So when you look at that word tribulation, it means a very narrow place that has turbulence in it. Tribulation that the Bible talks about in this verse is right here. Right here. This is this big here, but when you begin to pour it out, it gets real narrow. And if you try to do it all at once, it's like turbulent. You know what I'm talking about. You know? Yeah. See, that's tribulation. He said, it is through the narrow places that you will enter into kingdom life. But I don't want any of that. Then you can't enter into kingdom living. Do you hear me? Now, you can just stay put. I've got my salvation, got my ticket. When he comes, when I hear the trumpet, I know he's coming for me. I got my ticket. Somebody told me, said, over in the lost or found, we found some salvations that people lost. Not true. See, once you're born again, you're sealed. Sealed. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. I look at these narrow places and I say, Lord, that's pretty narrow. You know, and he'll remind you the way you and I need to walk. That's the crosswalk. We'll either do what we want to do, or we'll do what he wants us to do. And when we do what he wants us to do, we'll go through this narrow place. It'll be a lot tighter than what it used to be. But going through it, the whole kingdom begins to open up. And you begin to see things from his perspective and not ours or not everybody else's perspective. See, that word tribulation means narrow. It means difficulty with turbulence. There'll be things that will cause us to feel uneasy, uncomfortable. Has anybody ever been uncomfortable since you've been born again? Talk to me. You've been uncomfortable since you've been born again. I'm not saying you're always uncomfortable. Right, Billy? Billy's a man of God. But you know what he's had to go through? Turbulence. To be able to get to the narrow things that God wants him to have, he's had to go through the turbulence of his life to get to what is in the kingdom that he wants to give you. We want to shy away from the difficulties and the being uncomfortable. But see, we're uncomfortable, but what did he give you? Whom did he give you? What did you say? The comforter. He said, I will not leave you without comfort. I'll give you the comforter. Now, what does a comforter do? Comforts. There's no need for you and I to have a comforter. If we're not going to be uncomfortable from time to time. Pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, you're not ever going to be uncomfortable, but I'm going to give you a comforter. Well, why? You might get uncomfortable, and you probably will at some time in your life. Man, I'm so thirsty right now, I can't stand it. So, but I'm gonna give it back to you. That looks good, too. It's hydro. Okay, watch the end of that. There's turbulence in that, so I'm just letting you know. But see, that's God's design for you and I to go through these difficulties, these trials, and these hard times. But see, we think, okay, born again, we'll never have any of those. That's not true. But you'll have God in the midst of all of them. Okay. That's the crosswalk. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, for the word of the cross, the word of the cross, the word of the cross. There's words that comes from the cross, comes out of the cross. The word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. It's foolishness to people that are dying, perishing. They don't know him. So when they hear that, it's foolishness to them. Why would I want to give my life up to a man? Why would I want to do that? That's foolishness to me, right? But he understands the words of the cross of those that are all perishing is foolishness to him. I don't need that. I don't. And then you have, listen. Then you have people that says, we sing the song, turn to your neighbor and say, hold on. Okay. And then we have this song. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Me and Jesus got it all worked out. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. We don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. You can't live in a vacuum with Jesus. Do you hear me? He is your sole provider. He is your soul. He is your Savior. He is everything you'll ever need. But he's given you the body of Christ to hear what he has to say. Amen. Now, you can hear the voice of the Lord just like I can. You don't need me for you to hear the voice of God. But he said, you need each other. Because he calls us the body of Christ. I tell you what, just tell one of your lungs, stop working, I don't need you. You with me? Tell one of your kidneys, I don't need you. No, you do. Tell your eyes, I don't need you. You understand what I'm saying? See, we are the body of Christ. If you want to hear what he's got to say, you're going to have to... Thank you, brother. Listen, there is a reward for you. And excuse me. I would just turn it up and let it turbulent, but I'd probably have it all over me. So... we need the body of Christ. The only image of Christ that people are going to see is from you and me. We're here to give them visual looks of how Christ operates in the earth. Now, there's something here that you need to understand that... it says, foolishness to those, the word of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. He said, but to us who are being saved. To us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The cross is the power of God to us who are being saved. Now, but I look at another verse that's over in Ephesians chapter 2, and it says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. You have been saved. And then Romans 5:9, it says, we've been justified, having been justified by the blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What does the Bible say? We have been saved. We're born again. We are being saved. That's not born again. We are being saved, and we shall be saved. We have been saved, we're being saved, and we shall be saved. Now, unless you know the depth of the Greek in this thing, that it just not mean, does not always mean born again. It means delivered. Born again, I was delivered from darkness and put into the light. I am being saved. I'm in the process. I'm in process of going through things, going through turbulence, and I am being delivered as I walk this crosswalk. I am being delivered. I'm being set free as I walk this crosswalk. And then one day, we will be delivered from this body and raised into his likeness through resurrection power. But I'm saved from the wrath of God. See, he said, I will not pour out my wrath upon the righteous. That's the reason that the wrath that he had for Sodom and Gomorrah, he could not deliver that until righteous Lot left. Righteousness a lot of times will stay the hand of God from doing what he knows what's just to do, but he's got to wait. He's got to wait for you. Listen, wrath is coming to this earth. Yes. The wrath of God for sin has already been poured out. The wrath of God for sin has been poured out on whom? Jesus. That there is a wrath of God that is coming, but guess who has to leave before that happens? Us-ins. I told a couple of boys that was walking up the stairs. It was Pastor Roger Godwin's boys, and mine was included. He was there too, but they were running up the steps. And I said, where are you-ins going? And Rex turned around. Us-ins is going upstairs. When us-ins go upstairs, when he says, it's time, when the Father says, it's time, he's the only one that knows. It's time. And when he comes, wrath is going to be on the earth. Wrath will come. But see, right now we're living in an age of grace. There's so much grace that's given to us. We should have already, a lot of us should have been already raptured and gone, because we've plundered a lot of things. We've messed up a lot of things. You see, God says, no, you're mine. I paid for you. I bought you. You're not your own anymore. You belong to me. Is that you? Give him a shout. He's worthy. That's you. So you begin to see that this thing's working. He said he's already delivered me. He is in the process of delivering me, and then in the last day he will completely deliver me. See, this thing is about you have been saved from the penalty of sin. That's called justification. Just as if I had never sinned. He took you and me in all of our sinfulness and all of our transgressions. That's what it says over in Colossians chapter 2. He said, you're dead in your transgressions, but he made you alive with him, together with him, having forgiven all of our transgressions, forgiven all of them. Which ones did he forgive? How about what you did? You know, how about what you did? Now, it went from about 50 or 60 to about 10 to 1. Did he take care of what you did?
Yes.
All of those? How about what you're doing?
Yes.
How about what you'll do tomorrow that's not him? What? All. We were debtors to sin. But see, he said, I got that covered. Jesus has got that covered. See, we worry about, okay, and the enemy whispers all the time, says, oh, look at you. Oh, you're not too good a Christian. Look what you did. Look what you just thought. Look what you just said. You know, the Bible says, agree with your adversary quickly. And he is an adversary. Agree with him quickly. Yeah, what I just said, what I just did, what I just thought is wrong. And I repent. You got anything else you want to tell me? What else you want to accuse me of? And you just use what he's accusing you of as a platform to just change your mind about it and stop doing it. That's repentance. You can come to the altar with all kind of tears and all kind of everything, but you can leave with an unrepentant heart. He doesn't count the tears and say, okay, you've reached repentance. No. Oh, look at how he's crying. Look at how he's sorrowful. That doesn't say you have a repentant heart. Esau sought repentance and couldn't find it. It's a changing of your mind about what you're thinking and agreeing with God. It's turning from what you're doing and turning to him. It's just not stopping what you're doing. Because if you just stop what you're doing, you'll pick up something else. It'll transfer to another something that you shouldn't do. But you have to stop what you're doing and turn to him and do what he says do. That's repentance. And that comes up here. To change your mind about how you're behaving. Is your walk a crosswalk? Or is it a self-pleasing walk? See, it has to be the crosswalk, right? Has to be the place that we're walking the cross, walking in the crossway. So you begin to see that he said, I'm saved, I'm being saved, and I shall be saved. But he also breaks off of you the power of sin. It was the penalty of sin. We couldn't pay it. He paid it. Then it's the power of sin. You could not help but sin before. Because sin had dominion over every one of us. But he said, not only have I justified you, not only have I paid the price for your sin, I break the power of sin in your life. See, that's sanctification. First one is justification. Second one is sanctification. You've been set apart. You're no longer under the power of sin. Now you're under the power of the Holy Spirit. Follow the word, the truth. It is through truth that we're set apart, sanctified. He said, sanctify them with your truth. So we get sanctified. The power of sin is broken. Beforehand, you and I couldn't help but sin. Now if we sin, we choose to. Say, I know that, Pastor. Okay, I was with several pastors one time. We had a prayer meeting, and anyway, one of them said, well, we're just all sinners saved by grace. And I said, I'm not. He said, what do you mean you're not? I said, I'm not a sinner. I used to be. Hey, what are you now? I'm a saint. Well, oh, you got sainthood? And I said, yeah. How'd you get sainthood? Jesus gave it to me. He took my sin and gave me his righteousness and calls me a saint. That's what Paul called all the Christians when he wrote the letter to the saints. Who's he talking to? Believers. And they're saying, well, do you sin? I said, yeah. Well, then how can you be a saint? I said, because I have his righteousness. He's already paid for my sins. All of them. Let that sink in just a minute. All of them. The enemy wants you to battle over who you are. He wants you to battle over what Christ has already given, not earn. but given. He has given you and I righteousness, his righteousness. And one guy said, well, I sinned too, but not on purpose. And I looked at him and grinned. He said, what are you grinning at? And I said, every time I sin, I do it on purpose. You sin on purpose? And I said, I choose to sin when I sin. It ain't something that, oh, I'm going to sin. No, I choose to do the wrong. And I said, but you don't? And I said, if you don't, then you're under the power of sin. I'm going to go talk to this group a minute. The thing is, when you're under the power of sin, you don't have to choose to sin. It comes automatically because you're under its power. Then he says, no, I've broken the power of sin and I've given you my righteousness. And we can choose to sin. You know, the Bible says to be angry, but sin not. But guess what we do a lot of times? We get angry and then we choose to sin. I know some of you are saying, we've got a pastor that sins on purpose. No, not well, yeah. Well, no. See, when we do something wrong, we're normally choosing to do wrong. They did something to me and I don't like it, so I'm going to hold a grudge. I'm going to not forgive. What did you just choose to do? Sin. And then he says, you'll be saved from the presence of sin. Justified, sanctified, glorified, all because of Jesus. And the only way to get to this place is through your surrender to the cross. The work that he did on the cross brought us to where we are today. His sacrifice, his blood, him laying down his life. He said, no man takes it, I give it freely. He said, you, having been forgiven of all transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt. How did he do that? Consistent of decrees that were against us and they were hostile to us, because he has taken it out of the way. It's out of my way. It's out of your way. How did he take it away? Having nailed it to the cross. The cross walk, for a lot of us, we take on this self-affliction. Jesus did not nail himself to the cross. He didn't do that. He surrendered to the will of God, and that's what came. He didn't nail himself on the cross, but he laid his life down to be nailed. And when he was to see, he is the cancellation of all of our sin debt, having nailed it to the cross. Jesus did that by means of the cross. He said, having nailed it to the cross, then that's not all. He said, and when he did that, he disarmed the rulers and the authorities, disarmed them, and he made a public display of them, triumphing over them in public through him. So what does that look like? That's breaking the power. He's broken the power of the sin. Why? He disarmed the enemy. The enemy has no artillery. He has nothing. The only thing he has is lies and tries to deceive us into thinking God's not given us what he's given us. So he tries to whisper and to accuse and to deceive, but he has no power. The only power he has is the power that you give him. You and I have power. The only power he has is what you give him. If you give him the power to lie to you, to believe the lie, then you'll believe the lies that he's saying. So what does that mean that he disarmed? Well, how did he do that? How did he do that? Give me a second. Uh-oh. Say, uh-oh. See, now I'm on. You're going to be a conquered king. No. You're going to be a conquered king. You're going to be whipped, and you're going to be beat up, and you're going to be all of that stuff. To see, this is how Jesus did it. He said he made public display. What they would do, they'd go out and they'd conquer the king, they'd conquer the nation, and they'd take the king and they would tie him up, strip him. We ain't gonna do that.
Thank you.
Strip him, listen to this, strip him and displayed in a parade. And he would, the conquering king would be on a chariot and he would be tied up, stripped, put to shame, and he would, and y'all are the people of the city, and he would parade him, letting you know he's whooped. It's over for him. He's defeated. He has no more power over you. He don't have any weapons anymore. We've taken all those.
I'm a loser,
he says. You see what I'm saying? You see that this thing is how Jesus did the devil and all the powers and all everything that he had. He said, I'm putting him on display for you to see. I've conquered him. I've whipped him. He has nothing over you anymore. He can't even threaten you and fulfill it. Open display of the power of Jesus in conquering the devil. And the people, listen, and the people, what do you think the people were doing? Then do it. Yeah, you parade the devil. He's paraded the devil saying he's whipped, he's disarmed, he has nothing. Jesus said, he has nothing in me. That's what Jesus said about himself. And you know what Jesus is saying about you? He has nothing in you now. I've taken care of it. From this day forward, he has no power. All he's got is words. And he had one while I was up there, and he said, I'm a loser. You know. No, thank you so much, brother. But here's a good man. He's a good man. I'll reinstate him. He's a good man. But we have to understand that that's the situation Jesus, through the cross, has put us in. Don't lose it here. Don't take it lightly. Walk in that cross walk. Yeah, I know the enemy wants me to do this. But God wants me to do this. I choose the crosswalk. I'll choose the way of the cross. I choose him. I choose this way. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Amen? Did you get anything out of that? It's him. It's all about him. Well, that's page 1 out of 4. So, Oh, there's nobody like him. Nobody like him. Don't take it lightly. Take it for the face value that Jesus said, this is what I've done for you, and this is what I've given you. Now, some of you may not be walking a crosswalk. You may be walking a walk of selfishness, a walk that pleases you and doesn't please him. Today's the day where you get to repent. And if you don't know, see, some of you don't have a working relationship with Jesus. You've heard about him. You've gone through some of the motions. But as far as a relationship, some of you don't have one. Don't know who that is. It's not left up to me to choose. But it is left up to you to decide. Am I going to change that today? Am I going to surrender everything that I have? See, the only way that we're going to be able to get all of this, all of these things that he's provided right here, that he didn't say, he didn't say, I want you to, he said, I'm going to give you eternal life. But he said, I'm going to bring freedom to you by the truth, my sacrifice, and my life. And if you don't have that relationship with him, today's your day to do that. I want you to stand to your feet, please. And see, he put the enemy on public display, and we need to put Jesus on this display of our living every day. They ought to know that we're Christians by the way that we walk. We need to walk the crosswalk. Is there anyone here that says, I want a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I want to do that today? I want to do that today. Is there anybody? Anybody? Okay. So we're all family here. See, now's the day that we get to choose, am I really going to walk this crosswalk? Am I going to walk by the way of the cross? Because he's given you grace to do it. Everything he asks you to do, he empowers you to do with his grace. Everything he's asked you to do, he's empowered you to do it with his grace. I'm going over here. Everything that he's asked you to do, Vicky, everything he's asked you to do, Nancy, everything that he's asked you to do, he's empowered you to do it with his grace, his empowerment, his everything. So if you decide today, I want to walk the crosswalk, then if that's your decision, he will empower you to do that because that's what he's asking you to do. Part two's next Sunday. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for these people. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your sacrifice that you gave through your son, that he willingly did in order for us to be able to have freedom, to be free from the penalty of sin. We don't have to pay for it. You did. Free from the power of sin. You've already broken it, Lord. We're free from those things. And we are going to be glorified and be free from the presence of sin on this earth when we are lifted up from this place, just like Doug and William's sister was lifted up from this place and escorted into the presence of God. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that. So God, help us. Give us the grace to walk this crosswalk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're at liberty. Visitors, I'm going to meet you back at the back here. So if you're a visitor, make sure you get with me back here.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.